You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 109. This episode, Red Shirt Lanterns. Welcome, buddy, to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm not Frankie Mateo. Joining me this week, first, the database of Power Ranger knowledge, Colton Clayton. How you doing, Colton?
I'm doing fantastic.
The database of turtle knowledge, Andrew, NDB. Andrew?
Hey, yeah. What's happening?
See, turtles, yeah. The database of Batman, Flash knowledge. The database of Flash knowledge, W. West, Brandon West. Brandon.
Hey.
That was not a word.
And your database for everything else.
Was that an A, like, super funny?
Well, it was because we sort of heard the A.
It sounded like R2-D2.
and, of course, the database for everything else, Miss Bing.
Hey! You missed me, admit it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did. every episode's like, hey, where's Bing? I'm going to stop listening to the show. Okay, I won't stop listening, but seriously, bring her back.
Oh, did we unban him?
No, we did
Is
not.
He back?
No, I definitely permabanned him. So unless you unban him, Andrew, then...
I will end you, Andrew. I will. I'm just letting you know.
So I guess I don't think there's any sort of news to talk about. So I guess we should just talk about Green Lantern. Let's start with Green Lantern Corps. Green Lantern Corps number 4. Corps 4.
The Corps.
I didn't read this. So if somebody wants
We're
to give us
not great.
Oh yeah. I haven't read much this week. So the past month. So
this is like several weeks ago, isn't it?
It was like last two, three weeks ago. I haven't read in about a month. So if somebody else wants to give this summary or whatever, I don't know, just talk. Colton?
Yes. What?
You usually have something to say about everything. Talk.
I don't remember this issue.
Fantastic.
Someone explain what it was again.
I'm so excited.
It's the one with the, they had the interrogation of the one of the keepers, and the Martian Manhunter showed up.
Oh yes, when they finally brought back the Martian Manhunter, except he's not a Justice League member anymore, so we have to reaffirm this continuity.
Well, it might be that, or it might just be that as part of Stormwatch, whenever he shacked up with them, he made sure and kind of make sure to kind of tinker with everyone's mind that kind of knew who he was previously, and to kind of protect Stormwatch, because that's their whole thing. That's my take on it, anyways. It would still preserve continuity in my mind, but I could be totally wrong.
Well, from what I remember, they are at least setting us up for something when we finally get to. Is this the one where we finally got to see the planet where the keepers were?
Yeah, the field of
where the batteries
in the ground where the batteries go. Yeah.
This kind of gives me an appropriately so feel of the March of Tears with the Indians. It's kind of like they're just gonna be dragged till the point where they just die.
I think obviously, Colton, you would know most about that since you're from where they marched to.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Brandon.
Oh, that, and I paid attention to history class a little.
Well, yeah, but they all marched to your house, so.
Specifically, my house. We had tea. And yes, I am several hundred years old.
Well, I'm sure it was your great grandfather's house at the time.
Because this house is definitely more than 50 years old.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, Brandon. 60. Brandon was going to say something, right?
50-ish.
Brandon, you are there? I don't know. I told you are now.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a pretty decent issue. What I didn't like, to get this out of the way, was the Martian Manhunter cameo. It just seemed really out of place. It felt like editorial said, "Hey, Tomasi, have a DC New 52 connection in your book somehow." So they brought in Martian Manhunter out of nowhere.
I doubt that.
Because he feels like it needs to be a threat. I mean, we know Tomasi is a big Martian Manhunter fan.
Exactly.
But it's just a force that, you know, he shows up for 1 minute to pick the brain of a guy and leaves. Like, it was terrible, terrible cameo, and it stopped the book cold. And his interaction with Guy just seemed so heavy-handed. It just made Guy seem like even more of a loudmouth-ass character. The art is still good on the book, though. Fernando Passman is still amazing. And Moore Landon's guy, I know Colton wanted to say his piece on the current slate of lanterns dying around Guy and John.
Red shirt lanterns.
Right.
They're all red shirt lanterns at this point. They're just waiting for their number to be called.
And at least it's a nice, beautiful headshot. Guts all.
Yeah, it's really in your face.
Oh, guts, yes. The brain guts, also known as
coming out of his face, yeah.
The U guts.
Wow, Colton, really?
Right.
U guts.
Were you done,
really?
Were you done, Brandon?
Well, yeah, no, I'm not.
Well, yeah, no.
Well, don't let a random interjection stop. Please continue.
Anyway, yeah, there's a thread on the GreenLanternCorps.com that said I missed the old GLC cast, and I thought it was, you know, perfect timing with this issue because, you know, we've got characters dying every issue, but we're not getting, like, actual core in there. We don't know who these characters are enough to care for when they're dying. So I guess that's another fault for this series so far since the relaunch is that Tomasi clearly wants to have that team aspect in there, but he also wants you to know that every situation is a dire one for a lantern. And while the lizard guy may not be, what's that? Is that Yzma? Yeah, okay. While he may not be, you know, expendable, everybody else is. You know, he'll get his arm cut off, but that blue guy over there is definitely dead.
Of course, he's not expendable. He's named after Tomasi.
Wait. Now, I've been reading Green Lantern for a year now. You guys mean to say that there was a time at one point where they didn't just throw Green Lanterns in front of a cannon to watch them explode? I don't believe this. I just don't buy it.
Well, when I first started, it was, hey, we need to introduce characters. And it was, hey, we should kill people off that we just introduced last week.
Apparently, we're not allowed to like characters. We have to have them killed before we can like them.
To be fair, by the way, that thread on the message board was started by the world's number one Princess I fan. So take that with a grain of salt. But... So I, as far as I can tell, Brandon was done. So
he was.
Okay. So, Andrew?
I really liked it, but I didn't quite love it. I'm just, not to keep beating this drum, but I'm still a little bit upset that we're reading the fourth out of five, or is it more, about the Keepers, and I like the story, but this shit should have been wrapped up like 2 months ago. It's just going on and on about the Keepers, and they're cool and everything, but...
I personally noticed that ever since Emerald Warriors, Tomasi's had a real problem dragging stuff out.
Yeah, it's they're writing for trade and they fucking lied to us last summer, and it's just every arc and every Green Lantern comic is a reminder of that. The interrogation scene was a lot of fun. I got a good laugh out of it. Martian Manhunter's appearance was unexpected. I guess I dug it, but I guess it was just kind of there to serve as a reminder that, you know, oh yeah. The whole DC universe rebooted around us. Otherwise, you kind of wouldn't get that feeling because they're all sort of compartmentalized because there really was no Green Lantern reboot. And this is the first time it's like, oh yeah, there was this kind of a reboot, wasn't there? I like the art, cool coloring, and I kind of like how it's, how they're given like the Green Lantern costumes kind of like a, almost a metallic tint to it. And I'm really only seeing that in GLC, and I kind of like it.
Oh, okay.
That's Randy Mayer on the covers, by the way.
Is it? I don't think it is.
Don't fault me.
I don't believe it's Randy Mayer.
Alas for Yorick, how I knew him, Horatio.
It is Gabe Eltiab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gabe Eltiab.
Gabe, Eltiab, Eltab.
Eltab.
Something. El Fanning. All right, and Bing?
So I think the best thing I got out of this issue that I really, really liked was the idea that they weren't actually pulling the lanterns out of, like, a pocket dimension. Or I guess in the sense they were, that they were somewhere, which I thought was kind of cool. I liked the interrogation scene. I don't read any other DC books at this point, and so my only experience with Manhunter has been the animated, and I've been watching a lot of Batman Brave and the Bold recently, so this sort of thing was a little jarring for me, but I liked it.
And Smallville.
And I guess the one frame, the one page I keep coming back to that just kind of cracks me up is when Guy's got, like, the construct cameras.
The camera, yes.
And I'm so impressed with the fact that Guy actually knows what the inside of a camera looks like, so that when he smashes it against the guy's face, it, like, breaks into little gears and whatnot. I was like, oh, look, he might have a brain in there.
Guy, I'm sure Guy's one of those amateur photographers that takes pictures of himself.
Yeah. It's just Facebook, it's just hobby. Like, we never get to see him take pictures of little animals.
No, he'll just those duck face Facebook profile pictures.
No, he's got a Blake whole Grounds. Tag on Icon has cheeseburger. It's just him, nothing but him and pictures of his own cat or something. I don't know. But, like, the constructs, did they always take, like, color pictures that weren't green? Like, I don't know.
Well, I guess it would make sense for them too, right? Like, they could. Because if you know what the inside of a camera's like, then all the cameras would, you know, if the insides are all green, that doesn't make the picture green, right?
Well, to be honest, all the Green Lantern has to do is bend the light into a different frequency, and they can make different colors.
Get that from John, and I can get that from Kyle, but we're talking about Guy Gardner here. Like, I can't see him being, like, concentrating, oh, no, the hue is too saturated. Like, I don't know.
Hues can actually be saturated.
One of those things where you can go, Guy doesn't know, but the ring knows.
Oh, I was trying to give him layers.
Trying to add depth to Guy Gardner.
Trying to save him from his horrible haircut.
And his frat boy attitude.
Yeah, although, you know, I still got to admit, I think he still might be my favorite because he is the internet troll of the Green Lantern Corps.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he has the most character, wherever that is. But, you know, it's more than everybody else has.
If not a character arc, yeah, he does have the most character.
Yeah,
and he did Moon Batman. So there's that.
Yeah, there is that. He has the most shtick.
And plus Star Trek references.
I did like the Field of Lanterns. I thought that was cool, but I think that's what I started with, so I think that's pretty much all I have to say about this issue.
All right.
Poor Isamot, those will grow back one day.
So I guess now it's time to talk about Green Lantern New Guardians, where finally the reappearance of Sade, and also Larfleeze is on Oa now. Larfleeze and then all the other old New Guardians are trying to get their rings and stuff back, and so New Guardians are trying to get their rings back.
And we wonder why they're trying to start a new army with all this crap going on.
Yeah.
Well, but isn't that kind of what caused all these problems? All these new armies.
If an idea doesn't work, you clearly keep repeating it until it does.
They never even finished their last idea with the 10 frickin' laws. What were those?
If the screws don't work, then just start hammering a nail in.
Yep. Remember, Scar was the one who was behind some of those last laws, so I think they gave up on that one.
When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
I do like how you know they have Blee's contention, like, let Blee's out,
and which is bullshit because they made like a whole storyline with a thing about, you know, Red Lanterns can easily burn through green constructs. It's like their thing.
Well, I mean, she got out pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't they let her out, though?
I don't know. I mean, it says rage when she's getting out, so.
Yeah.
And then she goes off to have her story arc where she regains her sanity.
Ahead of the story!
It already happened in another book!
I do want to say I didn't hate the art so much. Maybe I just looked at it smaller than I normally do. But Tyler Kirkham, it looks better. Maybe it was the coloring too. Maybe the coloring helped.
Maybe he had a good day.
Maybe.
And his props.
No, I mean yes, I'm giving him props for this issue. I'm saying it's better than I've seen, and I haven't read the last I think two issues of New Guardians yet. So I'm jumping into this completely confused. But
next you'll be singing the praises of Ed Bennis.
No, that's not going to happen. I didn't read Red Lanterns. Telling you now. But yeah, this did look good. There was a
disaster.
There was detail in Larfleeze's face that I liked, like the fur on his face, and that was pretty cool.
It was the first time we've actually seen Larfleeze actually kick some ass since his first arc.
Yeah, he actually looked angry instead of Scooby Doo.
He remembered. Oh yeah, I'm a tough guy. I can kick ass.
I don't know that I was waiting to see anybody kick ass, and I don't know. I was waiting for like story, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're talking. Brandon, you have anything? Chad?
I thought this issue was really, really, really good. There was a lot there. I like the fact that we got to see a big fight. I like that Kyle, you know, just ran away and got home safe. I expected him to take the Guardians to take the ring away, but apparently they're not that smart, so... Whatever. I like that Sade has her own little cave inside Larfleeze's palace or whatever. I like that the rest of the Lantern Corps just follows along when they could be, you know, going about their business. But they're intrigued by it. So I think all this is interesting stuff. And the cliffhanger at the end with the giant space station is awesome. It looks super cool. And the designs for the upcoming villain look cool. There's a lot of interesting things going on, so far, and based on what we talked with Tony about, that, hopefully he'll get around to doing, this is the most exciting book for a Lantern fan. Or for me.
Now, real quick, I do remember them doing the whole Invasion of the Body Snatchers thing to Ganthet, but he seems fairly Ganthet here.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Like he doesn't seem like brainwashed.
His emotions are stripped, but I think there's still some Ganthet in there.
I mean, they're not
the will of Ganthet.
They're not even completely stripped.
He's not like kill Kyle. He's just like, hey Kyle, you're still the greatest. I don't love Sade anymore, but you know, like me.
I kind of like kill all those guys, but you're still cool.
Unless they want him to be evil. Have no emotion. I don't think. Reason goes out the window with lack of emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, that's what gives reason is somewhat of a distance from emotion where you clarify yourself.
And
it all depends. I mean, we're given reason to think that maybe there is something going on with the Guardians. Maybe they're being, you know, puppeted in some way. I mean, if that's the case, then maybe there is some kind of other agenda with Ganthet.
The other thing is,
like I was saying, like he could just be putting on an act for Kyle. Like maybe he's just telling Kyle what he thinks Kyle wants to hear. Whereas in reality, inside he's like waiting for him to lower his guard down to zap him or something.
But this was actually, I think, a great issue for Kyle where he finally stand up. He didn't have to be forced out of the core like Hal did. He decided that he's not going to stand for this. He's not going to stand for the corruption. He's going to do something about it. He's not just going to let them probe him and take him down or whatever they want to do.
Pound for pound, it's probably an improvement on all the previous issues. And I agree with Brandon. I think it's probably the most exciting book to read as Green Lantern fan. Although I will say that probably has more to do with like the current quality of the other books, I mean, which isn't that great. I mean, I do like GLC, and I can say some nice things about Red Lanterns of late. But I mean, it's kind of just blah. It's just action. I think it's true that this is the first issue in like as long as I can remember where Kyle doesn't get punked in some manner. So that's kind of a win right there. But yeah, it's just like action, 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 guys snarling, faces all twisted, yelling at each other, and it's starting to wear thin on me, but I'm hoping the story arc is just Tony and everybody wanting to start off the title with kind of a big bang, and not what's going to represent any kind of a status quo going forward, like in the next arc or the next arc, even though it looks like we're headed towards a big supervillain deal in the next one.
I mean, what can you really do with all these characters who are, you know, it's a mass of people who are from different cores, different ideas, different.
The idea is it's going to take time for them to kind of get into a group mentality, kind of start to look beyond their differences.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of stuff, but there's definitely going to be a lot of guys snarling at each other.
They're inherently from different viewpoints. Just be that.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I did want to say that I sort of wish they'd given Arkilla more of a backstory than, oh, here's Sinestro. He's the person you needed to see because we know that you know Sinestro.
Well, that could just say what kind of impact Sinestro had on our kills.
Yeah, no. It's a good idea. I do like that they did show, like, you know, Sinestro had an impact and he's a big thing. But I wish I'd maybe, you know, shown something from before we knew Arkilla or something. I don't know. And that could still come. But
I'm sure that's coming down the line.
He might have had a worse life before Sinestro, like getting beaten or tortured or something. Sinestro might be the highlight of his life.
It's possible.
He was having that problem in court. Like, he was beating those Quardians pretty good. Who would be fucking with him?
That'd probably say something about his race.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen his other peeps. So.
He might be the rat to his race.
Did say it looked like Minnie Crona to anybody else? That's my only art gripe.
Yeah, well, I guess. I mean,
she's been face embedded into Larfleeze's battery for the last three, four years. She's probably a little messed up.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's probably just a lot of the Larfleeze, you know, whatever he's been doing.
Well, I got that, but it looks like mini car.
I don't know. Maybe it's kind of hard to design around tiny blue people who should look very similar anyway. So
yeah,
it's true.
As long as she doesn't have the Corona mustache.
Used to be men.
Bing, I didn't hear much from you. Did you want to?
I don't know that I don't know. There was a lot happening in this issue, and I have a feeling that I think I will enjoy this issue more if I get the next couple after it and then reread this one. Like, I think I need to read them all kind of in sequence, because I feel like I've kind of lost a little bit in the time. I am looking on page 11, though, and I'm tickled by the sound effect of them arriving on Okara. Yeah, the warp, that's the noise the TARDIS makes when it appears on Doctor Who, so
I guess that is, yeah, I mean, you know, there's
it's stupid, but that's the no. I mean, as I'm flipping through the pages trying to think of something, you know, intelligent, quasi at least, to say, that was one thing that cut me out. I liked Arkilla using the ring to talk for him until he got his tongue back. I thought that was kind of cool. But I just feel like this is a middle issue that will be better with some context later on.
Right now, all I'm imagining is Matt Smith in season 5, episode 4, when he's doing the.
Exactly.
So I guess now we can move on to Red Lanterns number 5, which
yay!
I've already dropped Red Lanterns, so whoever wants to say something, I guess the three of you.
Don't you read all these illegally anyways?
That doesn't mean I want to keep reading it.
Keep clicking on okay.
So Andrew, you were saying nice things a little bit ago.
Yeah, I think I actually like this one. The other ones are just kind of meandering and much ado about nothing. It's like, okay, next issue, probably it's going to go somewhere. Nope. But, no, I mean, it did manage to at the very least pay off on everything that was built up in the last issue. Like, in the last issue, I was saying, like, you know, oh, Jesus, I hope they're actually going to do something with all these, you know, all the times they're pausing and giving the backstory of these people that are getting thrown into this lake, because what a waste if they don't. And, no, they did in this issue, so that was cool. It's kind of neat. And the whole bit with Corona getting up and walking away, apparently. I mean, that kind of creeped me out. And the whole John Moore thing, that kind of surprised me. I thought it was going to be the other dude. And I still hope they intend to somehow explain how this guy, above everyone else in Sector 2814, is like the most ragiest person. Because I think that's kind of an uphill battle.
I like to consider the fact that it chooses the maddest person at that given instant that it goes searching. Because if it was just looking all the time, then it would just would have found someone a long time ago.
I would still say that at any given point in time, Doomsday is going to be a little more pissed off than Mr. John Moore.
That depends if he's even Killer Croc anymore.
I mean, in my opinion, you'd probably be some sort of comic fan that was reading probably Red Lantern's number two.
it'll be some guy who looks exactly like Superboy Prime, screaming in rage at the newest issue.
These issues
are better in my day.
All these issues of Red Lanterns and Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern, it's like they don't really evoke much of a reaction of anything, like not really anger or being pleased with it, nothing. It's just like, eh, I don't know. The closest to
a book about rage is not giving you much emotional content.
No, I mean, it's not.
This book is all about rage and ass. Seriously, as I'm flipping through, it's like, oh look, there's another close up of Lee's ass. Look, hey.
And this is why I choose not to support this book, even illegally. Not a fan of Bennis. Not a fan.
If it's Bennis,
Kuhan, not an ass man.
all I'm saying is you can't see both sides at the same time. It's physically impossible.
Well, Bennis will try.
Sometimes you don't need to.
I understand you don't need to. I'm saying you people cannot be physically drawn that way.
Well, if you want the you know just always draw a mirror in front of a person while they're talking and you get the back shot with the mirror on the other side where you can see the front.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Total eclipse of the ass.
Brandon, do you want to say something?
I agree with Andrew that it doesn't provoke a lot of reactions. On the other hand, I am an ass man.
Yeah. I'm all about this art.
I've never, hated Ed Bennis. I think we all remember when we did Blackest Night, Teen Titans. When he did that, I enjoyed the art in that.
That was cool.
Yeah.
He did the John issue of Blackest Night too, right?
What?
The John issue of Blackest Night. The actual, in Green Lantern itself, there was that John Stewart issue where he finally made it to Zanchi after like years of going slowly towards it.
Yeah, I think he's a capable artist, sure. There's a lot of ass a lot of awkward poses, but I think he does a serviceable job. The problem here is the story. I'm not creeped out by the missing body. I'm more creeped out that the atrocities care so much.
Well, what about the moment where you kind of see him through the mist and shit? That was kind of freaky, no?
Not Krona, though. See,
how was that not Krona?
Who else could it be on this dead planet in this dead sector?
It's not that. And when Atrocitus is so
there was like five survivors in that entire portion of the universe.
So that's the mystery of the comics, though, isn't it, folks? We'll have to wait next
time. But it's some short person who looks like could be Krona.
He didn't even look short, though. Anyway, I don't think there's much to hear.
Krona's on his back. Or, I'm sorry. Atrocitus is on his back, and the dude in the shadows is, like, coming up just barely past his head. Dude's short.
Personally speaking, though, I prefer if Krona came back as a full-grown adult, though, like he looked in the old days.
Yeah, they need to go back to that. They only reverted because
he dies, but that's just a shell, and he reappears in his previous form.
Jeff was just trying to appease the movie look, and that's bullshit. No one cares about that anymore, so they might as well just bring him back to the way he's supposed to look.
Krona mania.
All right. Was that it? Anybody else have anything to say, or should we move on?
I have a question. What color is Blee's supposed to be? Is she blue, or is that just she's like?
I think she's like
she's supposed to be that skim milk white blue color. Like, what's going on? Because she's white in the previous book, not in Red Lanterns, but
I think she's like a lightish blue color.
Yeah,
she was lightest blue, but now she looks a lot more white after since she turned to Red Lantern.
But now, but I mean, her, in Red Lantern, she looks blue.
I think she's supposed to be like white with like
tight
blue tint.
Really close to white, but then like pushing blue.
So like that skim milk blue white. All right, just checking.
I mean, skim milk isn't blue to me, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Maybe I'm the only one who sees that. I have a problem with color.
I think she's like that. I guess that skim milk blue that you apparently see.
It's there, man. I'm not crazy. It's there.
Probably radioactive.
Yeah. They're slowly killing you with the skim milk. You're onto them.
You're skimming the non-cancer radiation.
One glass at a time. Killing Aaron in small amounts.
Just yet. That's exactly what's happening.
We have news.
Oh, okay. So apparently we have news. So let's go back to that now. I'm not going to move that. That's just going to be right now in between issues. Breaking news.
Green Lantern
2, no chance in hell.
All right, Brandon, what's the news?
Just debuted tonight. Oh, wait, that didn't come out right. I just announced today, DC Comics, Earth 2, James Robinson and Nicola Scott will be coming out in May. So, that's where you can find your Justice Society fix and, enjoy.
And Alan Scott and Jade both confirmed. I mean, they're on the little preview thing I saw.
Wait, it comes out today?
No, announced today.
Oh, I was just going to say.
It's Thursday!
I was like, what did I miss?
I guess technically it's Sunday. Wink. Nudge. Alright, anybody want to say anything about that? Excited for the Justice Society coming back?
I am glad we're getting Earth 2 book, but personally, fuck them for canceling OMAC 8 issues in, the same amount that Jack Kirby's OMAC failed. That's just perfectly screwing with me.
I'm sure that's exactly their intention. Like, you know what we should do? We should screw with Colton. We hate that Green Lantern core cast.
I'm going to find a wiffle ball bat and find Bob Harris and wiffle him.
That's what she said?
I think it's bullshit that it's... I mean, it's obviously going to be a new Earth 2 than we saw in, like, you know, after Infinite Crisis and 52 and all that. And Countdown to Final Crisis, it asks us to believe, okay, in Flashpoint, not only was, you know, Earth 0 screwed with, okay, fine, but somehow, for some reason, Earth 2 was fucked with also? Why? How? Will they even answer these questions? Probably not.
We'll have to get an interview with the writer then. Or ask Grant Morrison, because he's doing the whole multiversity thing.
That's where answers will be, if anywhere.
If it ever comes out. Give me my fix, Grant.
Okay, so now I guess we should move on then into Green Lantern, Volume 5, Issue 5.
Yay!
We're Hal and Sinestro, but mostly Sinestro, save Korugar with the help of the Korugarians. They give them all rings and say, "Hey, go fight." And then everybody tries to kill Sinestro. Everyone tries to kill Sinestro for a second, but then it's like, "Oh, by the way, you can't kill me."
Why do I get the feeling if you said Green Lantern Volume 5 in like any convention in front of Dan DiDio or Jeff Johns, I'd be like, "No, it's Volume 1. It's 1.
No. I'm sure that would happen. But they all try to turn on Sinestro, but he's like, "Nope, your rings can't kill me because I made them." Even though the rings can destroy Guardians, right?
Well, remember, these are copy rings that he custom created, so he probably pre-coded them.
Maybe. And then so they go in and fight the Sinestro Corps and beat them in 5 whole pages.
Mm-hmm.
5 whole pages. Really?
I really like the build-up to this issue.
Yeah, no, it definitely...
More than I like this issue.
It built up fine, and then five pages they beat the Sinestro Corps. Come on, really?
That's more due to Sinestro's apparent planning ahead.
That's fine, yeah, but...
He apparently planned ahead to put his entire core into a coma.
I don't know. So, And then they, and then they take him and imprison them again.
You know, for all of Sinestro's arrogance about how he used the ring better than Hal, I just like Hal to point out that you may use it better, but I killed the Guardian with mine. Can you do that? You got the touch, but I got the power.
And then, and then Hal makes up with Carol.
Oh, so infuriating!
Brandon wrote an open letter to Carol Ferris. I didn't read it, but I'm assuming it had to do with this issue.
I did.
So Brandon, you want me to read that in your angry voice? Because I could do that.
I will say that Carol Ferris broke my heart today, or yesterday when I read this issue. There's absolutely no reason for Carol to be with Hal at all. Zero, none. But that's okay. She can pick whoever she wants. I know. She's the wrong woman. That's fine.
Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. She divorced her husband for him and stuff. It's been a long time coming. Not that I want to stop.
Very long, complicated, drawn-out relationship.
I mean, her existence is actually based on the fact that Hal Jordan needed a love interest, so, I mean.
What about the one he already has they conveniently forget about?
Again, her existence, her original existence, was defined by the existence of Hal Jordan. Yes, he has another love interest lying around somewhere, but I'm sure
she's not in the shed.
I'm sure she's not in the new continuity anymore anyway, so they probably wrote out Cowgirl already.
This is ridiculous. It was about 2 issues ago where I debated with the rest of you that Carol couldn't possibly have been thinking marriage with Hal Jordan. Not this guy, the guy who has literally no home, no job.
That was the best.
And not even a certain ring.
Wait, you don't want to marry me? You want me to co-sign your lease? Then I hate you. What?
I need food, a place to live, health.
Awkwardly written as hell. But...
I would also think that I also sort of think that's a bigger gesture, asking her to co-sign. I mean, you know, obviously it's not bigger than marriage, but you know, I mean, for the time
he was trying to be responsible, failing but trying.
Isn't that kind of the opposite of being responsible? Like asking someone else to take responsibility for your insurance? Or...
Well, it's more like he's asking her to trust that he will take responsibility.
Well, I mean, to be fair, his credit rating probably went into the crapper after, you know, not being on Earth for a year. So he needed...
You know, the taxes will get him for faking his death.
Although, also, he probably should ask his brother first, but anyways.
Yeah, he did have a funeral and stuff. I wonder how that ever got resolved.
Yeah, the FBI is investigating.
It was witness protection, guys.
Without the ring.
He had a tombstone and stuff.
Is this going to be like the Coast City version of Burn Notice?
It was
you know, when you're a superhero,
maybe
can't leave Coast City because he's on the FBI watch list and he doesn't have any power to his ring, so he can't fly.
It's like the A-Team. He just you know goes around and asks people from contracts and.
So now who's being played by Bruce Campbell?
Sinestro is Bruce Campbell.
I would watch that movie.
So would I.
Totally watch that. I would watch the hell out of that show.
Well, the prince one. The king one. It's called the favorite king.
And special guest star.
Mommy! I just
So, anyway... I completely lost my train of thought. What were we talking about just now? Carol.
We're talking about how much of a sad pathetic loser Hal Jordan is.
Yes. I think we cut Brandon off.
You always do.
I can't help our tangents.
I went back to you.
Yeah, well... I don't want to harp on the fact that Carol is a fucking idiot for getting back at that loser. But she's a fucking idiot for getting back. And not only do I not believe Hal and his last second thought of "I love you, Carol," because this is exactly what happened to the fucking Predator shit when that was born. Anyway, I don't believe that Sinestro is not gonna use that damn what was it, giant battery, and just, you know, replace the green one on Ola and fuck everything up. Like, why would anybody believe that he's doing the right thing right now? If he thinks gathering the sickest people in the world is the order, then why wouldn't he just take that battery, put it on Ola, awake his core, and just run shit there? You know, it seems like the simplest plan.
Not enough of them.
Well, no, that's how you start from the end. You start from the core of the Predator core, and that's how you tackle from within. If you destroy the Guardians from the start, then the rest of the core is going to have nothing, especially without their power battery, because you just replaced it with your own. And I don't think John is going to go that route, but that'd be a lot more interesting than this third army. We got a third army bullshit. We just rushed an interesting story, right?
I would just
have breaking out of prison could have been interesting, but
I would take almost anything over this third army nonsense.
And it's not as if you didn't create the Alpha Letters for, like, this exact same thing. Like,
yeah.
Alpha Letters are there. Just use them. You don't need a third army.
They pretty much are the third army. They're the mixture of the first two.
Exactly.
They're supposed to be the best of both worlds.
Exactly. It's just a retread of a retread.
What happened to the Alpha Letters? We haven't seen them since Bedark's on the book.
You know what I just realized is that if Lanterns can copy their rings, then why don't they just give everybody on the planet a ring every time they want to beat a large threat?
that whole plot just makes me think of the Three Amigos and how they defeat the bad guys by making amigos, 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 and so I'm reading this issue, and that's what I'm thinking of, and just laughing at all the townspeople suddenly having like giant sombreros. And that's all right. You don't have to go with me on this little flight of fancy of mine. That's what the idea of. We'll just give everyone rings. It'll be just like that episode, Amigos, Amigos, Amigos,
which has been brought up before. It's the Daxamites all over again, and which is just a retread of a much better Grant Morrison story where all the people of Earth got superpowers. And
so,
copies of copies of copies. Does anybody else see Mongul under the power battery? Is that just me?
I haven't noticed.
That little capsule underneath the power battery. The yellow central power battery. Isn't that Mongul in it?
I gotta go back now.
Like bird's eye view of Mongul, like his arms wide.
I mean, he was put in the yellow battery, right? They put Mongo into the yellow battery at some point, didn't they?
They put him inside the battery, but I'm saying it looks like that's Mongo inside the little capsule that's hovering below the yellow power battery as they're taking it through space. It sure looks like him.
Away
shot.
I think you're right. It looks kind of like it could be him.
Didn't they literally drop the battery on him and he's just been under the battery this whole time?
No.
I think it looks like it could be him. If you look on the next... If you look in the next shot, it looks like it's just a yellow thing and then a purple thing under that.
Yeah, it's some kind of capsule, but I don't see Mongo.
You mean like the purple that the Mongo wears?
Yeah, no, like there's that, but like if you look in the far shot, it looks like Mongo, but like in the close shot, it just looks like a yellow thing.
The close shot doesn't look as much, although in the close shot, you can kind of see the symbol would be on his chest. And
it's definitely Mongo.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, and it's got the little, you know, the little studs that go up the...
On his shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, I guess
that's
it is.
Look at that, continuity in the Green Lantern book.
it's probably there because they're probably going to try to bring him back soon.
They've been reading your letters.
We did kind of mention that with Tomasi in San Diego.
I guess somebody listened. Can I just say
Tomasi told Jeff, and Jeff's like, "Hey, I can take credit for this and get credit with the fans."
Real, the art on the Hal Carol kiss looks really awkward.
Look at her hand. It looks miserable.
All the misery in her body is in her hand.
It looks old.
It is.
Yeah, no.
It's sucking the life out of her.
And their faces, too. Yeah, no, her hand looks like 80 years old. But no, and their faces look like awkwardly, like, they're just sort of smashing into each other. And like
it's like a seventh grade kiss at a dance.
That is exactly what's happening.
Well, the hand as they're actually kissing.
Oh my god! Yeah, no, like I didn't even notice that. But yeah, her hand looks dead. Like
it's like that Necron's hand.
maybe Hal never came back from the dead.
Well, no.
Plot twist: he's taking the life of Carol.
He never left.
He's a vampire.
On the previous page, he's all like really like a drug addict. Like, I have to find a way to get the new lantern. And then the next page, it's suddenly he's at Ferris Air. And all I can think of is that he's using her to get back in the air to somehow get back into space.
Maybe that's what's happening. He's sucking, like, he's trying to suck the Star Sapphire energy out of her. And that's how he charges his ring now. It's just by sucking the life out of Carol.
If he becomes a Star Sapphire and he doesn't wear chaps, I'm going to be pissed off.
No, I think it's just like sort of sucking the energy out to charge his ring.
Can we talk about her car, by the way? She drives a sports car, a two-door.
Yeah.
I think that's cute.
Looks like it could be the 350Z.
Like, if Hal was in that, we'd call him a dick. This is Carol. It's like,
oh,
look at her.
What an asshole on that car.
What's
he thinking?
By the way, Coast City's in California, right? So it doesn't make sense to wear a jacket all the time.
No,
they get acclimated to weird. If you're in like, that makes sense. If you're from California, that makes sense.
Well, like the guard's wearing a t-shirt, and Carol's not wearing much either. But like Hal's like dressed in like long pants and like boots and a bomber jacket. I don't know.
Listen, leave his style alone. There's another point in this issue. Sinestro mentions that he broke the ring twice. I thought that was interesting because we saw John Stewart, I think, exceed maximum.
Oh yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Exceed willpower capacity or whatever.
His will exceeded the capacity of the ring. Yeah.
His ring capacity was just too high.
Well, no, the opposite.
I guess his ring capacity was too low. Yeah, his capacity was too high. Yeah. I just wanted to say ring capacity. Anyways.
But that makes me wonder what Hal did.
No, guys, stop cutting off Britain. And go.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just about to mention Hal. So Hal killed Krona but didn't exceed his will on the ring. So I imagine what Hal did in War of the Green Lantern actually wasn't all that special, or the entities weren't all that special, or Krona wasn't all that special. And John Stewart and Sinestro are pretty fucking special.
Or he just faked his death, which is why he got back up. He's been laying down, pretending to be dead.
Krona is not alive.
Just a thought.
So yeah, I think that's it, right? And is that So.
I just want to say that I think Sinestro's been fantastically bitchy this issue and the one previous to it, and I thought it was fantastic, and I also really liked all the artwork. Creepy, deformed, shriveled hand notwithstanding, seventh grade bump kiss notwithstanding.
Besides the last, like, three pages, yeah, no.
When they're in, like, the cell, and it's just, like, I'm looking at it now, and, like, all the, just the coloring is great, and just, I just really liked all the artwork while they were on planet. That was it. It was pretty. I appreciated it. Also, the dude getting blown up was awesome.
See, that's what people like you to hear. So,
before we go out, I guess we could talk a little bit about the arc, since this is probably the end of Sinestra, the first arc.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I thought it was pretty good. The ending was obviously rushed, and I already, like a week later, feel like an asshole for picking Arcona for best new character, because now I hate her. She's crying because Sinestro apparently lied to her. Like, I assume that what happened was...
Well, to be fair, like I had that exact thing happening to me in real, like not me, like two of my friends are going through this sort of thing. Except, you know, one of them didn't actually become a ruthless dictator. So
yet,
I guess that's true. So I mean, you know, if this happened when she was in high school, I guess it would make sense for her to become like this and just hate Sinestro forever.
She completely justified last issue. I mean, you're standing up for your people. And then halfway through this issue, it's like, you did me wrong, Sinestro. And then it comes like really personal. It's like, no, you stand up for the millions he's enslaved and the people, his people just tortured, you know, instead of you didn't call me the next day or whatever backstory made you cry and shed a tear. Like, No, that completely ruined it. But otherwise, I thought Sinestro was a pretty decent arc and a nice story to set up the status quo of the new universe or whatever.
Yeah, I think you, yeah. I mean, I see that point and I like it, but that one frame of her with just her hand up and the way it's lit and drawn, I mean, the reasoning that got to that one panel is wishy-washy, but that one panel I think is really cool. I just like how their eyes kind of reflect in the dark, and I don't know, I there's something about that panel that really just kind of attracts my attention, and I really like it. So there.
All right. So I guess that's finally it for this episode of not finally, because we actually after somehow I don't know how we managed to get the show under an hour again, but yeah, that's it for this episode of the Green Lantern Corecast. So until next
we
time,
we have succeeded.
Until next time, may the power. Oh no, wait, I mean stay green
and stay gold,
and may the power protect you.
And rock on.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter @thegLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/RoyClarkMethod.
I have this magic ring. It's the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. Don't make us wait for too long.
I guess you could say we're even Comic Sans.
No. No. Nope.
We're not. I refuse to be Comic Sans. I serif only. All right. And 3, 2, 1.
You're Roman.
Really? You have to... Okay, anyways.
I always take it one step too far.
No, you just start talking when I'm about to start talking. All right. And Captain Planet. Wow. Just...
Heart!
Heart!
I want to get Doug Monkey on the chat, just if only to ask him about the Hal Jordan costume tweak with the shoulder things.
I thought you wanted to ask about Carol Ferris's dead hand.
Oh, I thought you wanted to ask about Monty from Captain Planet.
You just know they came to him. I was like, "Yeah, we want you to add all these other things," and he was like, "No, no, not gonna do that."
God, I'm so alone.
he's like,
they make the anchor add him on after he's done.
Maybe that's what it is. I bet that's just the case. Yeah.
So Stephen Colbert's running for president again.
Nice.
So you know.
Again?
Yeah, he ran last time too.
Place where we can vote for him.
Yeah, right. You have to go to South Carolina to vote for him. He's running as a favorite son last year, last election, I guess.